We're dropping an emergency pod. Michael Jordan is engaged in serious talks to sell the team. We'll talk about all of it today on Locked On Hornets.
You are Locked On Hornets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
In a minute, cuz we live. We live.
It's Locked On Hornets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day. Thanks for making us your first listen. We're free and available anywhere you get your podcast. That includes YouTube. You can check me out on WFNZ from 12 to 3. Wes and Walker is what we're airing. And then you can find Doug, his Substack, Every Hornets Box Score, on everyhornetsboxscore.com. I'm sure he will be writing about the latest news. Adrian Wojnarowski, we're dropping an emergency pod because of some news that he dropped about a couple of hours ago. This is the direct tweet. Quote, ESPN sources, Charlotte Hornets owner Michael Jordan is engaged in serious talks to sell a majority stake in the franchise to a group led by Hornets minority owner Gabe Plotkin and Atlanta Hawks minority owner Rick Schnall. The follow-up tweet from Wojnarowski would be this, quote, no deal is imminent, but there's significant momentum on a sale that would eventually install Plotkin and Schnall as the co-governors of the Hornets, sources said. If sale is completed, Jordan would be expected to keep a minority stake in the team, end quote. I throw all that at you. Doug, you take the floor first with wherever you want to go with this. There's a couple of things we need to touch on. But just the emergency news, right? The pod dropping earlier than what we would usually anticipate. Pretty big stuff here with Michael Jordan possibly selling the majority stake in the team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not shocked. I think it's always surprising when someone decides to sell a team. There aren't many of these teams, and you know, when they're not forced to sell the team, they typically don't. There is any kind of rumor about a sell, I think Michael Jordan owns like 97% of the franchise. He sold a small stake to Plotkin, and Daniel Sundheim was the other hedge fund manager from New York that got a small piece of the franchise. But this isn't shocking for a number of reasons. I think one of them being that this franchise is significantly more valuable now than it is when he first purchased the franchise. I was looking at a tweet from Sportico that had the franchise valued somewhere around $1.77 billion, which would be significantly more than the around, I think it was around $300 million that he paid, you know, for this majority ownership stake that he took from Bob Johnson. So, you know, there's a significant amount of money to be made by selling whatever percentage that he wants to sell and shift back into a minority stake. But there are other reasons why this isn't shocking as well. There have been rumblings about this from Bill Simmons, I think most notably, but there have been others that have just sort of whispered this. And I think it was rooted in the whole situation around the Phoenix Suns. And once, you know, there's movement on one franchise within a league, that's going to set the bar, right? It's going to set the bar for what other franchises are worth. A dollar amount suddenly becomes, instead of speculative, it becomes a reality, and it's going to entice other people who may have been on the fence about selling to sell.
Yeah, let's start with how surprised we are or how not surprised we are. Not surprised in the slightest. We've had an episode before. We had an episode earlier this season about Brian Windhorst's comments on my show, Wes and Walker, where I asked him about that Bill Simmons reference to the Hornets selling the team, and he didn't want to comment on it. And so I'll go back to 2019, Doug.
Okay.
Michael Jordan sells the minority stake in the team, and we're all kind of raising an eyebrow. We're all scratching our heads saying, okay, does this mean that he is going to sell a majority stake in the team, majority control, where he is not the head decision maker anymore? And Rick Pinnell, the late, the great Rick Pinnell, came in and said that's not true right now, that he's only selling a minority stake to Gabe Plotkin, to Daniel Sundheim, as you just talked about, and that was it, and that had been the case for a couple of years. But as soon as he sold that minority stake, you had always wondered, and I feel like that was the first time we got some indication that it wasn't going to be Michael Jordan's franchise all that much longer. But Rick said, hey, it's not quite time yet. And then this offseason, you're right, in reference to the Phoenix Suns, having that exchange between different owners now, he said within like a 2 second span, the slightest of references possible, yet carried a ton of power within those 2 seconds. You have Michael Jordan, who's going to sell the team. And then he was trying to talk about the value and what might that bring. I asked Brian Windhorst, man, a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, about that soundbite. And he said, you know, basically he didn't want to be aggregated because that's Brian Windhorst. And he said that a million times. And he said, all I can say is as of right now, the Charlotte Hornets are not for sale. Okay. So you better believe we were talking about Michael Jordan going to be selling the team soon, the very next segment. The Kyle Bailey Show, soon to follow, led with, okay, the Charlotte Hornets are going to sell. Not a surprise whatsoever. And the timing might be a little interesting because they might get the number one overall pick, Doug. You said with Sportico, they have Forbes saying that they're valued at 1.75, 1.77, whatever the tiny difference is, huge to us, but tiny differences in the listing. Man, Doug, if you get Wimby, which is certainly something within possibility and we're hoping for, part of the Bill Simmons conversation was, you know, how much that franchise, you know, just boomed. And now you're talking about the Hornets. If you get Wimby, how much is it going to go there? The timing, the exchanging of the franchise from one person's hands to another, that's going to be interesting here as well.
Yeah, the books, you know, in terms of player personnel, the books are generally clean. You've got some talent. This is not a franchise that's completely devoid of talent. So the new ownership group coming in has an opportunity to build something with this franchise. There is potential there. So it is a little bit more attractive. I'll go against you a little bit and say that I'm not shocked, but I am a little surprised because, you know, Michael Jordan did seem to enjoy the prestige that came along with being an owner and the clout that that gives you. I mean, he was reportedly, you know, in these CBA discussions, a big voice within those discussions. And he has been very active in the Charlotte community philanthropically. It's not as if he's been a completely 100% absent owner, but the basketball part of the ownership, I think his role has seemingly decreased significantly since he first got that majority stake. So I subscribe to League Pass Premium. And if you subscribe to League Pass Premium, instead of commercials, you get these Hornets like vignettes, but none of the vignettes are from recent Hornets history. It's all like late Bobcats and kind of Kemba Hornets era vignettes. And in one of them, Bismack Biyombo recalls a story where Michael Jordan comes down from the front office and suits up in some scrimmage gear and starts scrimmaging with the team. And there's even footage of him doing that. And then he spoke to the media. And if all of this is, you know, for new fans, if all of this is like shocking, that's because we haven't seen anything like that for a while. We haven't seen him talk to the press again, other than like charity events. We haven't seen him really address the basketball team other than like, you know, the occasional press release. But that version of Michael Jordan that was publicly, visibly, personally invested in the success of this franchise, that's gone. It's gone. I mean, the spirit of that is gone, and literally he's been gone. I mean, the occasional appearance next to the bench has become increasingly occasional, and I can't imagine that it's been very fun to be an owner of a franchise that is stuck in mediocrity. And now, and people listening to this are going to be like, oh, but he's been part of that because he has not been financially willing to invest in this team. And I think that's an extremely fair criticism. But at the same time, like, you know, if this team were an Eastern Conference contender, I don't think he'd be selling.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk more about it, about the surprise level. There's a bunch of other things to get to. We'll talk about it all over the course of next week as well, but we'll get to it in just a moment. Coming up next on the Locked On Hornets podcast.
Don't go to sleep on the Hornets just yet.
Let's take a look a little bit more at the surprise level. Also, maybe talk a little bit about who Gabe Plotkin is, because it's a very interesting story as far as who would be the leader of this group purchasing majority stake in the Charlotte Hornets. This episode is brought to you by Nissan Ariya, Nissan's most electric player of the week as well. It's brought to you by the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. So I think the player – Should we just go with Michael Jordan with this electricity?
It's MJ.
I mean, it's what do you want me to do here, Nissan? Okay, Mike, does it get any more electric than Michael? Here, as we talk about the new qualities in the Nissan Ariya: electric, brilliantly fierce, fiercely elegant, stunningly powerful, elegantly powerful. Which one of those characteristics closely resemble Michael? How about all of them? How about every single one of them?
Goat
Nissan
status.
Ariya. Meet Michael Jordan, the GOAT of the electric vehicle. The 2023 Nissan Ariya packs pin you to your seat power and premium intelligence all in one EV. That's electric vehicle for you guys that just aren't in the game quite yet. You need to get on board with this. The all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya, the EV for people who love to drive. Shop now at NissanUSA.com. A few more segments to go. Locked On Hornets.
Is Locked On Hornets.
Adam Silver had Ahmad Rashad up on stage, and he used his phone to like body scan Ahmad Rashad, and then they like inserted a digital version of Ahmad Rashad into the highlight. And wow. So I'm looking at this and going, just fix my league pass. I don't want to be in a highlight. I would just like to actually watch the highlight without my application logging me out, freezing, dropping all of the time. Fix my league pass before you insert me in the game, please and thank you.
It's time for more of the Locked On Hornets podcast.
All right, Doug. So as far as, you know, I know we've talked about just the timing of this news with Michael Jordan deciding, or at least with the report from Adrian Wojnarowski, that it looks like talks are imminent here that he's going to sell that majority stake. I know that you had a pretty interesting quote Steve Reed tweeted out on behalf of Michael Jordan's party, the family, I believe. What quote do you have?
This is from Jump Management. So this is Michael Jordan's family office, Steve Reed of the AP, getting this quote: "We don't comment on rumors and speculation." And you know, unquote. That's important to remember, that we have reports here. I think they're strong reports. These reports make sense, but they are reports. And this is... You know, if this gets done, this is going to be a lot of money and probably a lot of people involved. The two big names, Gabe Plotkin and Rich Schnall. But I think to get the money that's going to be necessary to get this deal going, there's probably going to have to be a lot of names, a lot of parties involved. So, you know, don't be shocked if this takes a long time. Don't be shocked if it doesn't happen at all and maybe happens later on with different names. This is all
right.
You know, none of this is guaranteed.
Right. If it doesn't happen now, the cat's already out of the bag. And the reason you can't really confirm this is the fact that it might just go to somebody else.
Perfect day to release this, by the way. Like, I mean, Thursday, the first Thursday, this barely made a trickle of news on Twitter because everybody's focused on Furman beating Virginia and Arizona losing, and college basketball is dominating right now. And so this was the perfect day to, like, the first Thursday is actually the best Friday news dump day of them all, of the NCAA tournament.
Not even a Friday. Who would have thunk it? I want to talk about the power with Michael, too. You brought up basically his power within the NBA, and that also goes back to the conversation with the Phoenix Suns, because that's the latest example of a sale that we've seen within the NBA. And so with Robert Sarver, a despicable human being who owned the Phoenix Suns, not only was he despicable for what he did basketball operations wise, it far exceeded that with the big explosive report. Was it Baxter Holmes who wrote that? I believe it was, who wrote the explosive ESPN report on Robert Sarver, bunches of incidents within the organization that led him to be an awful person. Anyway, Robert Sarver, it looked like the NBA was forcing him. That was the conversation. That was the conversation, that the NBA was going to force him to sell the team. And Robert Sarver doesn't really have to sell, right? Like, this is the thing that people kind of get mixed up here when you talk about the responsibility of the commissioner. The commissioner does work for the entirety of the owners within the league. You know, Donald Sterling, when he forced Sterling to sell the Clippers franchise, he was already on the way out. Every other owner wanted him out badly enough, and that was already going to take place. It was kind of misconstrued that it was Adam Silver coming in with the big old hammer and saying, get out of here. Robert Sarver, if he wanted to stay in the league, then, and he did, like, he did put up a fight. Maybe he could have, But the one thing that Bill Simmons also talked about was that the NBA was going to use Michael Jordan as also this other tool for to say, hey, Michael, can you say, can you give some kind of public statement, as did Chris Paul, somebody that was in that Suns organization? Hey, Michael, can you give some kind of statement condemning Robert Sarver and trying to force him to sell the team and get out of the NBA? Eventually, they didn't get to that, and it was framed as if that was the last card for the NBA to play. Now, maybe that would make you surprised as to him selling the team because he has so much power. But at the same time, one thing that hasn't changed about Michael, Michael's always done what he's wanted to do. And if Michael wants to turn a profit here, it looks like that might just be happening.
Well, yeah. And I think the important note on this report is that according to this report, he has an intention of staying on as a minority, as in a minority owner capacity, a minority ownership stake. So this feels like it would be the best of both worlds for MJ, right? You don't have to be personally responsible to a fan base. You don't have to be as fiscally responsible for what happens, but you still get some of the influence and things that you get from being part of the ownership class of the NBA. So I feel like there's a lot to gain for Michael. You know, it's when we look at the $1.77 billion number, that's if he sells the entire thing, right?
Right. And it's not going to be that much, right?
Well, and year to year, we know based on releases during when they do these CBA negotiations, they release, you know, financials of the teams, and we get a look at the books. Like year to year, the Hornets are probably a money loser, okay, because of a variety of reasons. And so, you know, so I think some people who own sports franchises, even if they own franchises that don't play well and lose money, they look at it and go, okay, yeah, I'm going to lose money in the short term, but if I spend money to try to make this thing better, well, first of all, I enjoy doing this. This is my little play thing, and I want to make it better. And so I'll spend money and lose money now, knowing that if I ever decide to sell at some point, I'll make it all back. I don't think – it doesn't seem like Michael ever felt like that. It felt like – he felt like, no, I don't want to spend a bunch of money on this team because I know it's going to lose money, and I don't want to spend it unless I know for sure that we're going to compete. And so I think if we're looking at upsides or downsides with a new ownership group, a majority ownership group that would have more decision-making power, I think one of the upsides is you get people in Plotkin and Schnall that might want to come in and shake things up and say, all right, this is our town now, and you know we want to spend a little bit more money on player personnel and we want to make some different decisions. Team personnel, you know, the front office is not going to be helmed by you know, people that, you know, are familiar to the UNC basketball universe or the Chicago Bulls universe or the Michael Jordan family universe. They're going to be helmed by a different set of people. So fresh ideas, creative ideas, all of that could be an upside, and more spending could be an upside if this new ownership group were to take place.
Well, yeah, and just a couple of things real quickly. Robert Sarver sold the team, right, eventually because of the pressure after racially insensitive comments that were revealed in that ESPN article, the third owner to do so because of racially insensitive comments and more within the organization. Just wanted to get that info right. You talk about Michael Jordan here as well, possibly selling the team, Forbes listing it at $1.7 billion. Maybe he does. We don't know what kind of stake he's going to still hold, because he still wants to hold a minority stake within the organization.
But what does that mean? Is that 49? Is that 3? Because look, at 49, if you have 49% of the team, then you actually do have some decision-making power. In terms of moving the team, you would have a little bit more stake in the game. You couldn't decide it on your own, but you have a little bit. But if you're like one of these, you know, what is it, Jay-Z and the Nets, where he owns like 0.03. Everybody thinks Jay-Z is like, you know, the 50% owner, but he ends up being like 0.03% owner. So, you know, is it going to be like 3%? Because then you really have no say.
Well, and the thing to me, it's maybe I just don't understand money. That's probably true. But the reason I would say it's going to be more than just 3%, if Gabe Plotkin is trying to get a group together to spend big old money, right? Like, I can't imagine it's going to be 3%.
Yeah, who are these? Who are these folks? So, what's a Gabe Plotkin? There's a name. Is it Rich Schnall? Is it Rick Schnall? Who are these people, Walker, that we're talking about?
Yes. So Gabe Plotkin is already a minority stakeholder within the Charlotte Hornets organization after purchasing so in 2019. Rick Schnall, by the way, not Rich. Rick Schnall, okay. Even though he is rich.
I think you should change it to Rich. Rich Schnall.
It'd be just fine. Rich Snob, the other guy that's going to have ownership here potentially with the Hornets. He's a minority stakeholder with the Atlanta Hawks, a part of the group. Now, Plotkin is the leader of this group, but Schnall, importantly, apparently an important figure within this. Now, Plotkin, he is the guy that was the hedge fund manager. I forget the company. I need to bring this up, get a research team
it's
on
Melvin,
it.
But Melvin is, Capital.
That's right. Thank you very much. I've not seen the documentary on this, but we were talking about it a couple of years ago when this guy was a minority stakeholder and purchased that part of the team. But yes, he was the hedge fund manager, the leader of the group that wanted to sell GameStop, and a bunch of people getting together Reddit.
So here's GameStop, okay. Let me clear it up for you. So they took what's called a short position on the GameStop stock. Essentially, very simply, and I'm not like an expert on this stuff, but I have paid enough attention where I can say just simply, they were essentially betting that GameStop, the stock itself, was going to do poorly because they saw the fundamentals of the business and they said, this is not a business that's going to be successful. We're going to bet against it on the stock market. Mm-hmm. But then what happened is a bunch of people on Reddit and what we call like retail investors, people that get on their apps and they buy stock, they decided, actually, we're going to buy a ton of this stock and we're going to make the stock price go way up. Which means that anyone who took a short position and bet against the stock is going to lose a bunch of money. And it eventually, it's called a short squeeze, essentially, when you know a group of people decide to really hit those people who took short positions hard. And that's what happened to Melvin Capital. And there were reports that he was going to actually close Melvin Capital because all of these short squeezes ended up, I don't want to say bankrupting, but it ended up damaging the business so much that there were reports that he was going to shut it down altogether. But anyway, he took a beating.
Well, yes, he did. But also, at the end of the day, was helped a little bit being the beneficiary of what is seemingly a rigged game. And we can remember Robinhood, the app, deciding that they were not allowing anybody to sell or do anything with GameStop stock. And so that led everybody to be extremely angry because it was, Robinhood was doing something that was really shiesty, 100%. And so now you're talking about this guy potentially being the lead owner with the Charlotte Hornets organization. And Doug, maybe we can get to that in the second segment, or in the third segment. But man, this is leaving you not feeling so great. You think you know what you want. There's a lot of people that want to have Michael Jordan sell the team, and then you go to these being the guys that he is going to sell majority stake to, and then it's like, oh, wait, except not those guys. Not those guys. And maybe we talk about it a little bit more here. Coming up next on the Locked On Hornets podcast.
Don't go to sleep on the Hornets just yet.
We can discuss the off-the-court impact of Michael Jordan and the exchange of this franchise if it indeed goes down here soon, and sure enough, you would imagine that it is going to happen at least at some point. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. BetterHelp is a app. I'm trying to pull it all up here. Yes, BetterHelp is going to help you get to know yourself a little bit better, and it can also be a lifelong process trying to get to know yourself, and so that's why BetterHelp helps you along the way. Therapy is all about deepening your self-awareness and understanding because sometimes we don't know what we want or why we react the way we do until we talk through some of those things. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and then you can even switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. Discover your potential with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/lockedonNBA to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/lockedonNBA. One more segment to go. Locked On Hornets.
Is Locked On Hornets.
Mitch Kupchak, will he do the thing that he has not done in season this entire
anything.
Time?
The thing that he has not done
it
is anything.
It always comes back to do something.
Just do one thing.
You need to get a stick from outside and become the meme in person. Because that it always comes back to do something.
Do something.
It's time for more of the Locked On Hornets podcast.
Is this good news for Mitch Kupchak, Doug, that Michael Jordan could be selling the team, or is it very bad news for Mitch Kupchak?
I feel like if you were betting on it, this would be bad news, because Mitch Kupchak obviously has direct ties to Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan hired him. And I think anytime you have a switch in ownership, I mean, if you have a switch in a front office, the front office wants a new coach. If you have a change in ownership, they tend to want new everything. They're going to change the carpet. They're going to change the wallpaper. You know, they want their own folks. So yeah. And I think ultimately that would be a good thing for the franchise, and nothing against, this is not really a dig at Mitch Kupchak so much personally, but just like, I think this franchise could use a full change of direction. And not only that, but more communication with the fans about, like, hey, this is what we're doing and this is why we're doing it. And, oh, by the way, we're actually going to contend. I think one of the things that has bothered me over the past, I don't know, year, couple of years, is how much communication from this franchise has essentially been, hey, we know we're not good enough, but we'll eventually be good enough. We're not going to tell you how. And also, we have a lot of problems being good enough, and here are all the challenges. And those are keeping us from being good enough. And it's like, it feels like, excuse me, I'm tired of my own franchise telling me why they stink and why they'll always stink. I would like some people to come in and say, actually, we don't have to stink, and here's how we're not going to stink anymore.
Well, yeah, I don't want to stink either. So we'll see if the owners, I mean, who does?
Hey, can I talk about these owners for a second? There were the possible new owners, because I have a couple of more details on Plotkin and Schnall.
Sure. Can I kick it to you with something about these owners as well?
Because
as we talk about whether it's good news or bad news, the thing about this as well is, you know, David Tepper, as a hedge fund manager, purchased the Carolina Panthers, and he does so as the new richest owner in all of the NFL, right? The wealthiest man. Now, since that has changed because of the Denver Broncos exchange.
There's always
hands.
Another hedge fund manager out there.
And they're in Charlotte. Welcome. But that is not the case with Gabe Plotkin. Gabe Plotkin, if you look at his net worth, at least right now, it's only $400 million. And so when you're discussing owners coming aboard, one, it's the reason that he's trying to put a group together, not only because he's going to try to purchase majority stake, but also because he doesn't have enough money. And so when he's going to try to get some of these other guys on board, that seems a little scary to me, because one thing, for all of David Tepper's thoughts or faults, Doug, it's the fact that the one thing I don't mind is that he's willing to spend, which is ultimately what you want. You don't want a cheap owner. You want owners to spend as much money as possible. Now, the whole meddling part, maybe that's where you have a problem with David Tepper, but he's got enough money. He's said a million times the coaching staff doesn't have a salary cap. You want him to be able to spend money, and that's going to be an interesting thing. Does that change from Michael to Gabe Plotkin and whoever this group is going to consist of?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's the upside that they would come in with fresh ideas. The downside would be that those fresh ideas are terrible, right? Like you want, but at the same time, like, I would rather a group come in and say, actually, we're going to try to be great, and we're going to spend the money necessary to be great. And if it doesn't work out, you know, okay, well, that's going to be a big bummer. But, you know, I think what's more depressing, that would be disappointing. What's depressing is not even trying. What's depressing is people communicating to me as a fan, hey, we're a mid-market team and nobody wants to come play for us. Boo-hoo. We stink and we're always going to stink. That's the kind of messaging that I don't particularly care for. I would like some people to come in and say, actually, we
can be
great.
Isn't it the same thing we've said, though? Like, are they not just saying the same thing? You just don't want that. We've said
But see, that's the thing. We have no power. We have no control. We have no money. We can't do anything to change it. All we can do is sit here and observe and critique. That's our job. It's the job of the people that actually have the ownership stake to do something about it. That's what I would like them to do. The thing that I can't do because I have no money, because I'm sitting here talking to you. I'm not a hedge fund manager. This is the life that I've chosen. They've chosen to be hedge fund managers, and they get the power to do these things. Plotkin, by the way, connected with Steve Cohen, another hedge fund manager who owns the New York Mets. So they're connected. Rich Schnall is the nephew of Carl Icahn, a very famous company owner and stock person. So anyway, it's all, you know, it's all stock people. You know, the hedge fund, the idea of a hedge fund, I think, has this reputation of coming in and like sucking the life out of an organization and getting, you know, all that it's worth and then moving on and leaving the dead carcass behind. But I think the history of hedge fund managers as owners are more in the vein of Tepper and Cohen when they come in and they go, well, I got all my money doing this boring stuff over here. This is actually the fun thing that I do, and I'm going to play with this thing and actually try to make it into something and win. And so hopefully, you know, that's what they would do. And hopefully, I know this has been the kind of thing that's on everyone's mind, and it is the risk anytime you go through an ownership change. Hopefully they don't come in. They have no connections, as far as I know, either of these guys, to the Charlotte area. So hopefully they don't come in and go, well, we don't, you know, we're not from Charlotte. We don't care about Charlotte. Let's move this thing to Las Vegas or Seattle or Nashville or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, goodness gracious, that would be the worst. I don't think it's going to happen. But at the same time, you're right. Like,
it would effectively, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, but this is what I said on Twitter. It would effectively end pro basketball in Charlotte. Like, it would just score whatever earth there is to plant on, and there's not much left after what happened the first time. But whatever ground there is that you could put a seed in and watch it grow would be completely nuked at that point. I don't see Silver coming around and going, okay, Charlotte, here's a third opportunity at this whole thing.
Well, and you have to keep in mind, and I know Nada has put this out there on Twitter, so shout out to Nada, at Nada the Scribe on Twitter. He was talking about the lease that they have. Remember how they are also undergoing this big old project to increase some of the things going on over there at Spectrum Center. You're kind of skeptical with that face that you're showing. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, because again, we're not, because I'm not sitting here saying it's if they take over next season that it would happen immediately.
Well, yeah.
This is not a situation where it's like I'm worried about the team moving in the next 5 years, but leases end, right? I mean, we're talking about long-term commitments here. And I think it would be, I think it's a valid concern anytime an ownership group comes in and takes over a situation where there are not direct ties to the city, that's always going to be something. And, you know, could they then at that point, whenever that lease does end up running out, could they then, you know, we have to go through this whole thing of like, is the team moving? Is it not? And they're leveraging it against the city and all of that noise. It is funny, Walker, that we literally just did an episode about how this season was drama free. You know, the off season, the last off season was drama filled, but this season has been drama free. And now here we go, 11 games to go. And we just got a big old bucket of drama.
Well, just real quickly, as far as the lease goes, I mean, the lease was until 2030, and now the extension that came in June is to 2045. That is the lease. The city is contractually obligated to spend $173 million to improve the arena, which opened in the fall of 2005. It also
contracts can be broken, leases can be brought. You know, don't you
there
know?
You go,
don't
Doug.
Under
make sure
it.
You
Here's
come
the thing.
And poop all over it. Just poop
well,
all
because
over the extension.
Don't do not
pop all over it.
Do not underestimate rich people's ability to get out of contracts with the idea that there is more gold in other hills. Okay.
Gotcha.
I'm just saying, you can give me leases, you can give me numbers, you can give me years. I'm just telling you, somehow, you know, all of those things somehow magically get figured out when rich people want to go make more money elsewhere.
Gotcha. So should I not give you any more? Because should
no,
I,
go ahead. Should I, go ahead.
I'll just stop there. Let's talk about the Michael Jordan philanthropy a little bit here too, because that's one thing where the mood of the fans, a lot of people that you, when you see this report first come out, a lot of Hornets fans are saying good riddance to Michael Jordan. They could not be happier. And it's very weird because Michael is considered the GOAT by almost not everybody, but there's a lot of fans that consider Michael the GOAT. And at least my timeline, I've seen a lot of people very, very happy about Michael Jordan selling the team. Maybe it's because you're not informed about who Gabe Plotnick is, whatever. A lot of people are happy about it because it's not gone well on the basketball court as far as Michael Jordan and during his tenure, I should say, here, Bobcats and Hornets owner. Off the court, it's been pretty damn good as far as the philanthropic side of everything. Plus, you're talking about the only African-American majority stakes owner mm-hmm. in all of professional sports, and or at least here within America, and that's a pretty big damn deal. Mm-hmm. And so I would imagine that's why the NBA is motivated to keep Michael in power as long as possible, but Michael is deciding that he wants to try to turn a profit as much as he can. And let's not look past the fact that he has been, like, when we talk about all of the philanthropy that Michael has been involved in, we're talking about Novant Health Clinics opened in poverty-stricken areas of town. We're talking about the largest sum of money given to charities post-George Floyd that benefits Black America in different facets of how we've had this climate that affected it has been unjust or unjust, I should say, to African Americans here mm-hmm. in this country. And so mm-hmm. when we talk about Michael Jordan and what he's done, like, that's going to be a sad part to have him not at the top anymore, right? To have him not be the owner of the Charlotte Hornets. And I just can't expect that that's going to be carried over by Gabe Plotkin. Maybe I'm wrong, but Michael, I mean, man, like he very much so. That's the interesting thing about Michael is what yeah. we used to view him as a player and what he's turned into over the last decade.
What, and if he does indeed keep a piece of the Charlotte Hornets, then he can still, then there's still motivation for him to be involved. And if he doesn't mm-hmm. at all, if he sells every piece of the stake, nothing precludes him from spending his money and his time bettering the Charlotte community. Now there may be some incentive that gets taken away, but nothing precludes him from doing that. And I think it's all fair to point this out, that he has been very involved in the community in a way that some, I think that probably if you look at some of the owners who are more active in terms of putting a winner on the floor, maybe not as active in their own community in as direct ways as Michael is and as thoughtful ways as Michael is. But at the end of the day, fans, when they spend their money on tickets to take their family to go see a game, they want to feel confident that the people that have the power to put a winner on the floor in front of them are doing everything in that power to make that happen. And I think the view on that from the fan base in general is that this particular ownership group led by Michael Jordan has not done that.
And so
they want to see that change. And they want to see that change. And I think that the past, I'd say, 5 to 10 years have been a coming to terms for fans, have been coming to terms with the fact that this really wasn't going to change. And that's why I opened my thoughts about this whole situation with that Michael has been, I feel like, stepping further and further away from the megaphone. Again, only, I'm just talking about basketball here. He stepped further and further away from the megaphone. And so you can't expect fans to be like, oh, yeah, he's the GOAT. He's going to make this thing right. He's going to turn this thing around. There's been no evidence of that.
Well, yes. I mean, it's not been a successful basketball tenure for Michael Jordan as the owner.
Not at all. You know, zero playoff series wins. Zero.
Right. Right. The thing about it is, you know, with Michael doing this, I've always defended it a little bit because we've never had the opportunity to go into the luxury tax where I thought it actually made sense, right? Michael is not unlike the other owners in the NBA for not wanting to go into the luxury tax when you weren't going to go make a deep playoff run. In fact, I criticized the Gordon Hayward move. A lot of people were telling me they liked the Gordon Hayward move, spending that much money for
a lot
free
of bad
agent.
Luck. Maybe Michael, like in his most private moments, is like, you know, I'm just,
well, that's what I'm saying.
This is just not joke. Lucky. This didn't work out. I tried, and maybe fans would disagree, but maybe he thinks he tried and it didn't work out.
But Doug, that we joke and it is funny, kind of in a I'm in pain kind of way. But when you're talking about that specific thing, yeah, like, people, this is the thing too. People want to say Michael Jordan doesn't want to spend money. And then you overpay for Gordon Hayward. He literally came to the city of Charlotte because you paid him more than anybody else would. He wanted to go to Indiana. That was going to happen. Plenty of people have talked about that. But they paid him over $30 million a year. But people are mad because Michael isn't willing to spend money. But like he just did for Gordon to try to keep something afloat. And people want to talk about how you shouldn't tank. And they never did. Like, this is the thing. Like, Michael, this is why I've always defended Michael to a certain extent. We were going to find out about the luxury tax this year when they were going to pay $30 million annually to Miles Bridges, and then he was arrested for felony domestic violence, and the season went to hell. Everything after that that happened. And then there was no reason to go into the luxury tax anymore. But this was going to be the time, especially with PJ Washington's contract. And so, like, as far as all the criticism for the Michael Jordan stuff there, it's why I still leave room for doubt as far as was he truly a cheap owner, quote unquote. I think there's room for doubt.
Well, that was felt like that was a reputation, not even amongst fans, but amongst, potential coaching hires and other folks around the league. So, those whispers were a little too loud for me to believe otherwise. But I think, Michael has the opportunity to kind of exit sort of like Tricky Dick Nixon and just come out with a press conference and say, you won't have old Michael Jordan to kick around anymore. Goodbye.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, the player, the personnel, the luxury tax was interesting, not unlike other owners there. The coaching staff thing, as far as the Kenny Atkinson stuff, yeah, that was brutal. So we'll see. And maybe we won't anymore because Michael's not going to be the owner much longer, according to these reports.
Who knows?
Maybe. That'll do it for Locked On Hornets. Thanks for making us your first listen. We're free and available anywhere you get your pods, including YouTube. Go check out Doug's Substack, Every Hornets Box Score, on everyhornetsboxscore.com. I'm Walker Mail. Check me out on WFNC from 12 to 3. Have a great weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday.